The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this edition of Century, prevention and harm reduction. The European Union Drugs Agency, EUDA for short, recently held a fascinating webinar entitled Novel Strategies to Promote Health and Social Responses to Drug Use, E-Prevention and E-Harm Reduction. E-Prevention and E-Harm Reduction simply refer to digitally delivered interventions designed to prevent or reduce negative consequences associated with substance use. These approaches can enhance accessibility and overcome stigma by offering anonymous, user-friendly channels for information and support. One of the participants was Dr. Fernando Caravilla, a family medicine physician in Spain who also works as a harm reduction advocate under the pseudonym Dr. X. Let's start today's show by hearing part of Dr. X's presentation.
Just to introduce myself, I'm family physician, but my field of expertise is related to recreational drugs, but also work on therapeutic cannabis, chemsex, anabolic steroids. But the field that has brought me the most popularity is the specific intervention in the deep web crypto markets. So when we talk about e-prevention or e-harm reduction, we refer to all these possible channels, advice by email, forums, mobile apps, websites, podcasts. The keys are simple. They're highly accessible, affordable, confidential, and they give concrete and tailored answers to each question. But these tools have limitations too. Sometimes information is incomplete, communication may be difficult, and there can be interpretational mistakes. So this online approach is possible, but must be done carefully. I provide you some examples. That before was the ChemSex project from 2017 to 2020, and it was the first website about this aspect in Spain. And we did we combined online counseling with monitoring and harm reduction materials adapted to the specific needs of this community. This website provides us with something that is always difficult to achieve in prevention, is evaluation through the tools it offers, allowing us to assess strengths and weaknesses. Another relevant comes from this blog, Dr. X Files, that provides, it gathers more than 400 questions that people have been asking me along these years. The next one, there is a question that is, should MDMA and amphetamines be avoided during lactation? Well, it may sound very strange for us, but this is the kind of questions that people ask. And in fact, it shows that people care about these things. So, well, most of these Dr. X files were extracted as I mentioned at the beginning, the character of Dr. X gained some popularity after my participation in the Silk Road, Silk Road 2 and Evolution forums from 2013 to 2015, offering information about drugs and health to users. So this is that was the Silk Road, the web page where you could buy drugs, and these systems have evolved and sophisticated. And in fact, this work was accepted for what it is, harm reduction work. And this is a report on crypto markets in which the NCDDA kindly invite me to participate and show these results. So I want to show some common factors related to this kind of prevention. The first one is that this approach allows us to selectively target the population group we want to influence. It's a selective prevention. The second one is that users, they value their privacy, but they prefer to stay anonymous. But it is important, the next one, that the person that provides the information cannot be anonymous. You can't hide behind a nickname because you have to achieve credibility. And some key features I would like to mention are this. It's not an authority intervention, but you participate with the community. For example, in this next one, this is a post I have done for harm reduction and meth use. talking about, for example, the different ways you can use it, including cigarettes. But the interesting thing is that this is mixed, but that people, they make commentaries and they make valuable commentaries on this post. And so it improves and grows, and it's a kind of peer-to-peer review even in the document. Another thing that is very important, I think, is the role of context. You have to adapt your message to the context where you are talking. This last slide I showed, it doesn't happen in a school. You wouldn't talk about this in a school, but happens in a place where people just drugs. In this sense, if someone asks this question, what is your favorite drug and what is the most dangerous drug and what causes the most problems, we could answer with some discussion about Thimber triangle and statistic of mortality and the difference between harm and risk. But in this same context, we can use this sentence that would be inadequate in another context, that all drugs are harmless if you leave cocaine or MDMA on a table. They won't try to assault you, rape you, or kick you in the that tries to illustrate that Thimber triangle, okay? Take attention on this phrase because we will back later. And just to finish, I think, this is another example of a diabetic person who wants to try MDMA. And so in this concrete situation, you can provide a complete customized messages with key things that are important to preserve her health. That is related to monitoring physiological parameters, moderate doses for the first time, preparing food, consider psychological emotion, the drugs you are using, it's.
That was Dr. Fernando Caravilla, Dr. X, speaking on a panel entitled Novel Strategies to Promote Health and Social Responses to Drug Use, E-Prevention and E-Harm Reduction, that was held July 23rd by the European Union Drugs Agency. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's hear more from that panel. Another participant was Damian Subczyk with Mestislaw in Poland.
Hello, everybody. I'm a social activist and creator of the YouTube channel Mestosław, and the channel has now like 200,000 subscribers and almost 29 million views. And that's surprising because the topic is harm reduction and drugs. And it's not always like that we can gain so big reach. And also I'm working in Polish Drug Policy Network and Social Initiative Drug Policy Initiative. So I'm also working with NGOs. And on the beginning, I had a lot of problems with my content because a lot of censorships, my videos were also deleted, my channel was deleted, but it's getting better. And in 2024, I was named a Creator of the Year in Poland. So that was a very surprising thing that even in this controversial topic, we can gain some recognition and people understand that harm reduction, prevention is important. And my work is mostly grounded in the principles of harm reduction, of course, and public health and social justice. And rather than moralizing or promoting abstinence as the only valid option, I focus on practical strategies that reduce the negative consequences of drug use. And this includes, of course, content of safer use practices, overdose prevention, mental health support, and where to seek professional help. And what was always important for me to make a strong effort to combat misinformation, both in the sensational narrative that traditional media always have and also the content that it's many times in social media that it's very romanticized and talking about drugs like they're the amazing tools for people. And my message is always the same. Let's reduce harm, not spread fear, and let's meet the people in the place where they are rather when we think that they should be. And what is important that in Poland, when I'm based, drug policy, drug law, it's still focused on punishment. We can go to the jail for even like 3 years just for possession. It's completely different from Portugal when I'm currently living. And the stigma around drugs, it's quite big. And my important goal is to humanize people who use drugs. And to do this, I'm making interviews with doctors, psychologists, social workers, and individuals with lived experience, including people that are in recovery or they were in prison. And the stories are showing that the drug users are not criminals or not failures, but people dealing with the complex life situation, and that the addiction is a matter of public health, not for the justice forces. And I think that one of the biggest parts of my job and very loved by the community, it's my interviews in Monar. Monar is the largest network of public addiction treatment centers in Poland. And these people are there for 1 year therapy. And normally their voices are not that really heard in traditional media. And because I had my own past experience with addiction, I think that our conversations are honest, open, and empathic. And it's many times different than when journalists is coming to record the interview. And my viewers always tell me that the stories help them to see their own patterns, gave them hope. And also staff of Mona report that after each episode that I'm posting, they receive more new applications. And when we started collaborating, the number of people joining therapy has increased significantly, because many times people didn't know that, wow, you can go for free public therapy. And there was a lot of myths also about these places from previous times. And this is a really good way of helping people with addiction. And what it's very important also that for many of my viewers, harm reduction was like a completely new topic. They never heard about that. They didn't even know that something like this exists. And the biggest example is when I was talking about drug testing, that we can use the colorimetric test. People were surprised that something like this exists. And these videos help people understand that the dangers of using unknown substances is really big. I think also important part is that in these videos, I am creating the space for dialogue. There is this way of this peer support communication, and that people can connect to each other. They can fight with misinformation, offer empathy, and this is always helping for these people that they are not ready to seek formal help. This is like the first step. And thanks to use my, I also support researchers and NGO and public institution by promoting surveys and research projects. And that's how, because I can reach to well-connected audience, so I can gather thousands or even tens of thousands of responses quickly. And many researchers told me that before working with me, collecting this kind of data was extremely difficult. And of course, outside the YouTube, I take part in media interviews, podcasts, conference, public events. And thanks to that, I can spread harm reduction ideas to people who won't normally had that knowledge, search for that knowledge. So this is also helping to shape public opinion and contributes to broader social change. And all of this is because I'm working closely with NGOs, scientists, policymakers, and also with governmental institutions, international institutions that create the synergy of knowledge with the trust public vote and with audience. So this is something that I believe this is very important, with honesty, transparency, and empathy, having knowledge and having audience to share this information. As you can imagine, of course, I strongly believe that e-prevention and e-harm reduction will become essential part of how scientists respond to drug use, how we see good practices, especially that every year, more people turn the internet like a first source of health information and all information. With the new platforms, like even a few years ago, we would be so surprised that, oh, they're going to be next platform like TikTok that people spend many hours every day. They listen opinion of other people's, not always even knowing if they are experts or not experts, but yeah, this is how we share information now. So it's very important to have institutions or people that they're really, really relevant. And we really need to think how we approach credibility, access, and engagement online. And I think the advantage and also sometimes disadvantage of digital platforms is speed and reach. Because in our case, when the new drug trends appear or something important, it's happening now, creators like, for example, me, we can react for that in hours, sometimes days, but not in the weeks, because the problems with institutions and public health is that we are slow. I know how this normally works, so we are slower, but creators are many times quicker. And when people are exposed to the substance that it's, for example, dangerous, we can react much quicker. And social media are also the space when we meet people exactly where they are, like culturally, emotionally, socially. And this is mostly important, I think, because many people who use drugs recreationally, they don't see themselves at the risk. So they not that often interact with the formal services, but of course they watch YouTube, they watch TikTok. So the content, it's more natural for them to introduce their harm reduction strategies. And if they need this, to show them when they can find the help or professional support. And I really like also, we have in Poland online chat that it's made by a governmental institution. My friends were working there, and it's perfect moment because people can ask without any judgment, fully anonymous, to the specialist. So of course I understand also we have a governmental institution like that, but we need to support this for government or even non-governmental organization, because people need to have access by online. This is the cheapest for them, this is the easiest, and also sometimes without any shame and fears. And I think this is also important for the people from the marginalized groups like LGBTQ, young, or people without documents being in the country illegally. So this is how we can reach them and give them access. And I think this is very important with exactly strong collaboration with public institutions, because they have knowledge, they have money, they know how everything works. But now a lot of job is made by individuals, and it's really important to find like funding, recognition, and access to data, like EU drug agencies sharing reports or everything. This is really helping with creating content. And many times I was focusing also on reports made by governmental organization, international organization. And without that, I could be not creating good content for people and being sure that information that I'm sharing, it's good one. And this cooperation is very important with connecting this knowledge with the authentic and also like trust voice that people have to creators. And they are like treating us sometimes like a friends, more like the specialists. So it's easier for them to share in emails or like chat information that it's about their personal drug use. And in this whole situation, I think it's also very important to have this language and cultural access, because a lot of very good information about drugs, harm reduction, it's in English, and people not always know the English. So can be very hard. I'm reaching to the Polish audience, and I think that a lot of information in Poland, especially in previous years, were like outdated, moralizing, or really hard to find. So making content in multi-language and locally relevant should be a strategic priority. And I really appreciate that EU Drug Agency is doing this also, that they can find resources in Polish and people too, but they need to be a little bit more accessible for the general access. So to finish, I really believe that the future of e-prevention should be empowering, proactive, and it's not only about this don't use drugs or stay safe, but also about like helping people to explore why they use drugs, why they need them, what are the healthier options that they might choose, and this digital content can support people in building this self-awareness, mental health, and connection, because as we know, all know, drugs are just one part of people needs and people problems, and this is like very important to make this all connected and think about this broader. Thank you so much. One comment, because I saw on the chat Teresa comment that the drug labs has been running for years, for example. And this is exactly very good example, and thank you, Teresa, for pointing that. Drug labs, it's a channel on YouTube from Netherlands, and the people there were like using drug on videos and talking later how they feel, what its effects of drugs. So from my Polish perspective, where this was super controversial, because they were exactly showing the real cocaine, the real products, they were injecting them, not injecting, but taking them on vision, this would be not impossible for me. And this is why we need also like international help, because platforms has exactly the same rules for every country, but in every country there are people, and people have different opinions. So from people in Netherlands, this is harm reduction. They know what this is. They know that this is like made by specialists, made by professionals, and they know what's the purpose of that. And what also helped the drug labs, that it was financed by TV, by National Netherlands TV. So it was also with support of institution, and this is different situation when you have like just YouTuber or non-governmental organization, when you have TV. And this situation could be better exactly with this understanding that, for example, YouTube would really have nice guidelines for every country, what its harm reduction, because yeah, in Netherlands, in Poland, or in Ukraine, this can be differently seen, the same situation.
That was Damian Subcik with Mestislaw speaking on a panel entitled Novel Strategies to Promote Health and Social Responses to Drug Use, E-Prevention and E-Harm Reduction, that was held July 23rd by the European Union Drugs Agency. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's close today's show with a bit more from that panel by Dr. X, Dr. Fernando Cadavia.
Well, if I receive a kind invitation from Utah to speak in a seminar, there are two possible scenarios. The first one involves asking for a free day off, booking a flight, worrying about keeping taxi and restaurant receipts, and not to lose the boarding pass. And in the second one, I don't need to iron my trousers. In fact, I don't even need trousers. And I can sit in front of my own fan and still have to think time to do other things during the day. So digital e-prevention and harm reduction is next one is not the future, it's the present, okay? Because you can reach large audiences, we can reduce the cost for already, NGOs don't have a lot of money, so it's easier to handle in an event like this. And we can also amplify the voices of marginalized communities who can even participate anonymously. I guess that it also multiplies your capacity to deliver activities that reach more people with fewer resources. And so the digital space transcends borders, and they offer scalable, low-cost, and multilingual interventions. It enables real-time interaction, targeted prevention, and ongoing evaluation. Inclusion and anonymity become strategic tools for the public health. And it's not just innovation, it's equity in action. But one possible risk is to rewrap all fear campaigns in Instagram posts. I don't think it's time to move past the punitive model disguised as prevention. And this is not drug promotion or trivialization. It's called communication. We have to give engaging messages tailored to the people who actually need them the most. Those are high risk, the users. And so let me finish with the environment I know best, the environment of crypto markets. I think they are 10 years later, they are a fascinating phenomenon. 10 years before we had Silk Road, and now we have a complete ecosystem of markets, online forum. Dread gathers more than 300,000 persons talking about drugs. And the interesting thing is that the next one, these platforms have traditionally shown a surprisingly positive response to harm reduction initiatives. From this consultation that I offered for 3 years to the International Energy Control Drug Checking Program that focuses on crypto markets, which I directed from 5 years, from 2015 to 2020. But even more interesting, these communities, they generate their own harm reduction strategies. So maybe it's time to build, it was in the next one, is to build real synergies that protect health of people who use drugs. Okay, I know some of you can find this idea scandalous, but to me it's a sign that we are on the right track. Because harm reduction has always been about stepping beyond the line. It never started in Polish conference rooms. It started in the margins, in squats, in clubs, in underground forums, where people refused to wait for permission to take care of themselves. And so I would like to conclude with one final thought, particularly related to point two, the difficulties. I think in the field of drugs, when you defend some unconventional or not politically correct positions, and I am aware that some of mine are, it has a price. It's unusual for people to refute you with arguments. More often, the response is silent exclusion or cancellation. Of course, my work is open to criticism and correction, but too often the dissenting voices are denied the right to debate in the institutional space. It's possible that it's not relevant, but I have the sensation that some of these proposals make some people uncomfortable. And that's why I really particularly appreciate this invitation. So I'm truly grateful to have been given a voice in this event. And I want to make very clear that all the opinions I have expressed are on my own, and I take the responsibility without compromising any institution or group.
That was Dr. Fernando Caravilla, Dr. X, speaking on a panel entitled Novel Strategies to Promote Health and Social Responses to Drug Use, E-Prevention and E-Harm Reduction, that was held July 23rd by the European Union Drugs Agency. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio, syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Please support public media and local community radio. Become members. Become volunteers. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
So long!
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.